Yeah. And a little child shall lead them. Lives with future. Lives. Was there no? Where's the credits? Oh, you guys cut it too short. Interesting. I haven't seen that video. And it's interesting that I'm going to start with what I have to say pretty much where they ended. Let me pray. Father, we just thank you. Thank you for clarity. I thank you for a succinctness that is necessary here, that we can drive home into the heart of the message, the only message, the message that these, our children, are preaching and reaching out and appealing to hearts with, that you are the risen Savior, the only Lord, and that you have brought us in, relationship with our God and Father. And that as we confess you as Lord, and we believe in our hearts as God has raised him from the dead and seated it at his own right hand, that we have eternal salvation. And we thank you for the joy that it spills into our hearts, even as we declare it in our songs, in the things that we were declaring here this morning, in the emblems that we shared, with an expectation for greater things. More, more unto that perfect day when we see you face to face in our own glorified bodies and sing for eternity in the passion, the joy of our Savior Jesus Christ and our Father God. So today, Lord, drive us into these deeper things. Draw the, connect the dots, the lines that connect us, Father, that we might be able to know you in this flesh, in this day and age, more and more and more. So the deeper things we're into. I was thinking about what Jesus had to say. We have to look at the program here. Let's get with the program. The program is God has made a plan from the beginning of time. It wasn't something that just popped into his head 2,000 years ago. It was from before time for us. Created with purposefulness. With a sense of, I have a goal. And there's things that have occurred in our lives that have changed in the span of man's time. That is from Adam until this day. If we don't understand what Jesus had to say or do, then we have missed the progression from the garden to the garden. Garden of Eden to the Garden of Gethsemane. So, as the kids said, go and tell someone. Jesus, when being questioned, so you've got a week. If you do anything this before Sunday, do yourself a favor. Go to the book of John, the Gospel of John. Read from chapter 12 to the end. This is pretty much where I live and focus out of. But so, and that's the last week that we have that Jesus lived before he died. And in that, there's a scope of amazing things that he had to say. And we need to know what Jesus had to say. But in that course, when he was challenged in front of the high priest, he had this to say. Because they were saying, the high priest then questioned Jesus about his disciples and about his teaching. And Jesus answered him and said, I have spoken openly to the world. I always taught in the synagogues and in the temple where all the Jews came together. I spoke nothing in secret. Why do you question me? Question those who have heard what I have spoken to them. They know. Go and tell someone. Do we know? My heart is, do we know? So I'm going to read a few scriptures here. That's taken out of that section that I told you from John 12 to, well, not to the end, but I'm going to read a few scriptures that I want to talk about Jesus and what he had to say to us. I can't compress it all in there. So please, you're going to hear it, and you'll probably take it in your own context. You need, or not even in the context that maybe I'm saying it in, because you're where you're at. But the Bible puts things in context. Hopefully I can just break it down so I'm not sending you down a path, but that you're hearing what Jesus had to say, not what Chris had to say. I'm Chris, by the way, if you don't know me. Just saying. Starting in John 15. I think I would have bookmarked this. So Jesus said in John 15, 18, "If the world hates you, you know that it has hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. But because you were not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, because of this, the world hates you. Remember the word that I said to you. A slave is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will keep yours also. But all these things they will do to you for my name's sake, because they do not know the one who sent me. If I had not come and spoken to them, they would not have sinned. But now they have no excuse for their sin. He who hates me hates my Father also. If I had not done among them the works which no one else did, they would not have sinned. But now they have both seen and hated me and my Father as well. But they have done this to fulfill the word that is written in their law. They hated me without cause. But when the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, that is the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will testify about me," Jesus. "And you will testify also, because you have been with me from the beginning. These things I have spoken unto you, so that you may be kept from stumbling, that they will make you outcast from the synagogue. And the hour is coming for everyone who kills you to think that he's offering service to God. These things they will do because they have not known the Father or me." John 16:27, "The Father himself loves you because you have loved me and have believed that I came forth from the Father. And I came forth from the Father and have come forth into the world, and I'm leaving the world again and going to the Father." His disciples said, "Lo, now you are speaking plainly, and we are not using a figure of speech." He's going to the Father. They're saying, "We know you're going to be crucified. Now we know that all things you have done, no need for anyone to question you. By this we believe that you came from God." Jesus said, "Do you now believe? Behold, an hour is coming and has already come for you to be scattered, each to his own home, and leave me alone. And yet I'm not alone, because the Father is with me. These things I have spoken to you, so that in me you may have peace. In the world you have tribulation, but take courage. I have overcome the world." And Jesus went on to say in his high priestly prayer four things. And I'm just going to bring this down. This is the end of the readings for this. He said four things that he prayed. He said, "Holy Father, keep them in your name, the name which you have given me, that they may be one even as we are one." Remember, these are the words that we need to know. These are Jesus' words. He's speaking to us. He's saying, these are the things that we will remember. Ask him. When they ask us, do we know these answers? Jesus said, we are one. That we are one. His purpose was that we are one. And he says, sanctify them in truth. Your word is truth. Then we are sanctified vessels to be used, capable of going and delivering. Go and tell them. Jesus said, "The glory which you have given me, I have given unto them, that they may be one just as we are one. I in them, you in me, and that they may be perfected in unity, so that the world may know that you sent me and loved them even as you have loved me." And the fourth one, "Father, I desire that they also whom you have given me be with me where I am, so that they may see my glory which you have given me, for you loved me before the foundation of the world." I want to talk to you about communion, if you will. The offering, the sacrifice that we have. I'm actually kind of, it was an inspiration because I was asked to do a little blog and I did 600 words, so I'm kind of expanding on the blog a little bit that I wrote, but it was about Easter and what it meant to me. And this was what struck me about this Easter and understanding what it is we're doing and why we're communicating this. Okay, let me stick to this. I remember, I prayed for succinctness. That might have been the moment. Whoosh, back. Christmas time, we have many people, many religious say Jesus was born, great, he was a prophet, he was this, he was that, he was a man, he was martyred, and he died, right? But this Easter here that we are celebrating declared something far greater than that. It declares that Jesus Christ is Lord. It's significantly different. This time for us as Christians is more than, you know, oh, he sent someone to guide us and we can have good lives. He sent his son that he would come to this moment in this time and that he would be raised up again according to God's word, that we would have newness of life. And it having declared that Jesus is Lord of all, it's very difficult for people. We're good with, he's an okay guy. Nice guy, did nice stuff. But we're a little bit more stressed when it says, Jesus is Lord of all. And I was talking about the Garden of Eden. I was talking about the Garden of Gethsemane. In the Garden of Eden, we walked with God. We were able to see God because I have to assume when Adam fell to sin, when he, in disobedience, went and ate from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, which he was commanded not to do, that lack of faith in God that took him to an action of disobedience, that when he hid himself, because God was here, God walking in the garden, that we would have seen God. We were walking with him. Now, we didn't have the knowledge of good and evil at that time. We know that there is a scripture say, no man can see God and live. And yet we see that Jacob, in his understanding, becoming Israel, said, I saw God and lived, and yet he didn't. And Moses, who said, show me your glory, God said, I can't. No man can see me and live, but he saw a hinder part. So there is revelation of him in different understandings. But in the garden, we had this relationship with God that we could walk and see and talk to him. And then our lack and our disobedience of faith came crashing to the ground, our demise, where we were separated from God. We couldn't see him anymore and we were thrust out. But in the Garden of Gethsemane, we sang about it today, a faith in Jesus overcame sin and death eternally, more powerful than sin and death, when he said, not this cup, Father, let this cup pass before me, but not my will, but thy will be done. And he stood in faith, knowing that he was going to become sin and separated. Today, we look at that. When he was raised up on the cross, he became sin, and he was separated from God. But he had faith in God, that God would take from that and bring life, because that was the plan from the beginning. So, we fall in the garden. God says, you're out. We no longer eat of the tree of life. Very important, tree of life. We had the spirit. We had the knowledge of good and evil now. And when the devil gave that little baiting, saying you're going to be like the Most High, you're going to be something greater than that caused us to fall, when he baited us with that, it took away our life. When we acted on it in disobedience, it took away the life we had in him. So God says, okay, we're out of the garden. Shut the gate, close it down, and we see that he then takes the first blood sacrifice, because he covered us with skins. He covered us, so we came from somewhere, an animal. And I think it speaks of two things. It says, one, that we needed to be covered. And two, that it was the innocent that would pay for us. Now, I often wonder, why a blood sacrifice? I mean, like, I ponder on things, and I think there's a life. Well, it says, the Bible tells us that the life is in the blood, right? And that is how much It cost us in the garden when we lost life. That it took an innocent life. That shedding of blood because there was nothing left in us. We had fallen in disobedience and we'd walked away from God. He said, I got to establish something. That the innocent blood will be the only covering that can cover you. So he established a covenant that sent us forward in relationship with him. And it was a blood covenant. So then we see the first offerings that were offered. I'm coming to bring you to the offering. I'm bringing you through the ages here. I'm going back and bringing you up to where we are and celebrating what we are today. Cain and Abel bring an offering. Cain brought the first one. And it was he was a tiller of the ground, and he says he brought of the ground and he offered it to God. And then Abel brought an offering. And he was a keeper of the flocks. And he said, look, here, I'm going to bring the best of my flocks. Now, there is a sense, I mean, everyone talks about, he brought of the firstlings and the fat of his offering, and that was the condition that made it acceptable over and above Cain's. I'm going to say that I believe that in actual fact, it was because he mirrored what God had done. He said, it's a blood sacrifice that's necessary. And how do I know that? Because when I go to Abraham, and Abraham's offering Isaac, and Isaac says to his father, he says, look, Dad, I got the fire, got the wood, got all this stuff. Where's the lamb? He said, God will provide himself a lamb. And God brought a lamb caught in the thicket, a ram caught in the thicket. Didn't bring vegetables or wheat or anything like that. And I think we're in a battle here in this world. Now, we are fighting against all sorts of things as Christians because it is not us. Remember Jesus said, they didn't hate you, they hated me. Because of this very essence. And I see this Cain and Abel offering as what's going on in the church itself today. It has kind of a form of Cain's offering. It's an offering. He was the first one to bring it. It sounds good. It looks good. But it falls short of what God has called us to. It falls short of what Abel understood. The pure in heart will see God. Abel saw something there in God that said, that is the acceptable sacrifice. Now, it may have come from the condition of saying, I'm going to offer whatever I feel like. But is that not what we do? Is that not what the church, we're hearing rumors of within our own context? Oh, there's other ways to God, but we chose Christianity. It is short of the message of this cross that Jesus bore. It is just short. It sounds good. Timothy writes in Timothy 3, won't take time to read it, but he says that having a form of godliness, but denying the power of it. And we see it going on around us right now. And I'm saying this message that I'm talking to you is the deeper things that come back to the foundation that say God had a purpose and a plan in this day that Jesus Christ was crucified and on the day that he was raised up. Let's not be blinded by what's going on around us. Because the pure in heart will see God. So we skip ahead to Moses' offering. So things have changed. So up until Abraham, if we read in Exodus 6, I think it is, 6:3, something like that. I'm not sure if I wrote that down. Probably not. But in Exodus, it says that man knew God as the Almighty God. I should look that up because I think that's probably, rather than me paraphrase that. It's important that we get some of the clarity because it seems like it's fine and minutia and stuff like that, but there are subtleties that take us. It was the subtlety of the enemy in the garden that got us here in the first place. And I think God is subtle. There are slight margins. Now you know I'm not going to find it now, right? Okay, yes, it's 6:3. Oh, how about that? Yes. Exodus, yes. And God spoke further to Moses and said unto him, I am the Lord. I appeared unto Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob as God Almighty, but by my name, Lord, I did not make myself known to them. So he was making himself known by his name. There was that father relationship that he was bringing in. And this, the acceptable sacrifice up to that point, because we know under Abraham, was the lamb, the blood offering. Now we have a new relationship built, and God brings in a whole pile of things. Yes, there is the sacrifice for sin, but there was also a sacrifice that included stuff tilled from the ground. So it wasn't necessarily that Cain missed the point, but he missed the point. The subtlety of that. And there was a changed relationship that had taken place. And yet again, we come along. And we take what God has given us to have liberty and life together and to be able to be engaged with God the Father and have a relationship with Him that He brought and said, look, here's the things. This is what it is required because we can't get together without this. And we busted it. We broke it. We turned it into something else. We turned it into our own lasciviousness. And it was corrupted. So then we come to Jesus Christ this Easter, the Lamb of God. This is God's last attempt. Not attempt, it's a bad word. Last step, sure, foundation, more than that. This is God's final purpose. Establishment of there can be no more. He says, I am going to send my Son, and He will become flesh, and He will become that sacrifice, that Lamb of God, the innocent blood, because everything that was born after Adam from the garden on up until Jesus have one thing against it. It was born from a broken world in sin. Jesus, immaculately born, God in the flesh, came and said, this is the only innocent blood. And from this, there can be nothing greater. There can be nothing that takes us beyond this. So just like all the other sacrifices that went before were done in faith and believing God and building relationship, we come to this, the cross of Jesus Christ, the thing we celebrate today. That He is the only one that can be the perfect sacrifice with the perfect blood that is innocent of all. And He gave Himself, and He is our covering. Is what covers us that we can live and come together with God. This is a battleground for us. It's a battleground in terms of one, the Lordship of Jesus Christ, and two, this communion table. And I was talking about why this communion table is so important. Well, the communion table is when we declare. And do we believe? And do we know the words of Jesus? And do we have it in our heart? And do we go? And can we go and tell people with the zeal and the passion that we have within our hearts that I remember Jesus died because He was the perfect sacrifice? See, God has moved along. It has developed, but it has not changed. It was about relationship. But He said, this is the final one. He said, there can be nothing else beyond this. And now we see Jesus. And it's our confession of that. And it's in the church today. It's in words we hear from internet or wherever it's coming from. It builds up. Even the elect people that have said great things about Jesus have found themselves struggling with a concept when people come and barrage them. Yeah, well, okay, that's one way. And they say, well, okay, maybe there's another way. Well, maybe there is no judgment of God. I'm sorry. God said, Jesus is the judgment. It is the end. The only thing that God changed Himself in, by the way, to my mind, you know, we know there's no shadow of churning with God. And I don't think there was because it was purposeful from the beginning. But Jesus said, and this is just a side note, He said, the Father has given all judgment into my hands that I might be glorified. But it was for the purposes of reconciliation to God. God has drawn a line in the sand. That's what that picture's about. It's a line in the sand. He said, I am coming against all of this. If we read the prophetic words of the Bible, and we see Jesus predicted that we would be in trouble, that we would have a fight, that He would give us strength to go on. He would send us the Holy Comforter, the Spirit, that would bring up to remembrance all the things that He said to us, that we would be able to be witnesses of Him, that we would be able to declare what is going on. But He drew us a line in the sand that says, you're either on my side or you're not on my side. You can be, and it was kind of cool when I took this picture. It just happened to catch the water. I thought, isn't that interesting? The water was coming to wash away that line, which it did. It had to be really quick. But the fact is, that is not the world that's trying to wash away that line and say there is no line anymore. And yet we as believers of Jesus Christ have to declare that this Easter time says that Jesus is Lord. That He is risen. And we have eternal life because of it. It's where we need to get hold of, dive in, build on, look for understanding, look for development, ask God to reveal into our hearts. We pray for it all the time. We just cannot push enough into it until that we are in glorified bodies and we see Him face to face and as He is. And we can look Him and say, yeah, got it. Because there are whispers in this world that would draw us away. So, I'm going to end with this. Because we needed to know the words of Jesus. Remember what the kids said? Go out and tell someone. So we need to know something. The final words that I believe Jesus would have us understand for this moment. Because on Sunday we're going to talk about a greater thing in its own way. Not greater. The significance could not be there without the significance of His death on that cross on this Good Friday. Because it is Good Friday, like Kevin said. We ought to be filled with joy. That there was a provision made for us. That there was a propitiation made for us. There was a blood covering that was acceptable to God for all eternity. And that should be our joy, but in a sense, there is a mourning that goes with that until we see on that third day. And I'm excited. We should be excited about Sunday. Excited about that day. For the revelation that comes, that we should be lifted up. We should come in with expectant hearts, expecting to hear the development of this. That just drives us through the roof. That gives our passion a push. That brings liberty to the lives of people in our community, in our neighborhoods, those around us, the things that we touch, how we operate, places of business. We should be the light of the world, the salt that brings savor into people's lives. When we touch them, we should become expecting to receive that so we can go out and we can say, go tell them. So what did Jesus say? I'll leave you with these words. He said, I am the way, the truth, the life, and no man, no one comes to the Father but by me. So Father, I just thank You, Lord, that this would sink into our hearts. We would be liberated and lifted up and we would just understand the joy, just as You said, the joy that was set before Him, Lord, the joy that is set before us, that we push on and press in. And as the children have said, let us go and tell someone. Amen. Thank you. Enjoy the rest of Good Friday. Okay, I'm supposed to announce times that I have no idea where they are on Sunday. Same thing, right? 9:30. I was here for those meetings. Okay, I'm sorry. I do listen. It's just I have a real quick forgetter. 9:30, and what we're going to do is we're going to have a pancake breakfast, so please come and join us. Join us and celebrate the risen King. Yes, I'm so excited. And then we are going to have our regular service, which will start in here at 10:30. And we will go from there and see what God has for us, but come expecting. Blessed be His name.